Well, hello, 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 and welcome to the PGH Writing Command Center for another podcast episode from God Bless the Cake Publishing, LLC. Oh, I love that little intro music. Ah, my goodness gracious. And hey, I am Paul John Halsleben of God Bless the Cake Publishing, LLC. I am the flagship author, chief photographer, music reviewer, music critic, chief cook, bottle washer, do everything guy here at God Bless the Keg Publishing, with a little help from my friends. Yes, indeed, and some of my friends are gathered here for this podcast episode. A little different crowd from what we used to have. And Happy New Year to everybody. Happy 2026. A blessed, healthy, Happy New Year to everybody. It's a few days after the new year. I said I would be back in January of 2026 after the Christmas podcast. I didn't think it would be this early in 2026, to be honest with you, but we'll get to that. So at any rate, if you are a longtime listener, a subscriber, then welcome back. If you are a first-time tuner-inner, if that's even a word, well then welcome. And we're just thrilled you're here to join us for this podcast episode from God Bless the Cake Publishing, LLC. And as I mentioned, Happy New Year. We're recording this a few days after the New Year. And Santa Claus came down the chimney on Christmas Eve here at the PGH Writing Command Center. So for you longtime listeners, you might hear a little different sound with the sound effects and some other things going on here. Because Santa Claus brought Paulie this new audio podcast, Hoozy Mabobber technology guy, and we're using it as an audio interface right now. However, it's able to be portable. We can go in the field and actually do podcasts in the field, so that's a scary thing. People will see me coming with my cans on my head and my microphones. They'll be running the other way. Here comes that crazy guy from New Jersey. But we're kind of excited about the possibilities, and we're thrilled to be back here for another year of the podcast. And I can't thank everybody enough that have sent me emails and comments and tuned in and subscribed and followed a podcast. It's been quite the journey. And what started as a whim and started as a fun suggestion from a friend or two became something of a passion. And I really enjoyed it, even though my time is so limited. And between my writing and my photography and my actual primary source of income and all the things that Paulie does, it's certainly keeping me young. And for that, I'm very thankful for. And speaking of being very thankful, let's get our little orphan Annie decoder pins out, because we are very thankful for our podcast sponsor here. Even though Christmas is past, and I hope you got the Red Ryder BB gun that you wanted for Christmas. And even if you didn't, put it on the list for this year coming up. So get that little orphan Annie decoder pin out, because this podcast is proudly sponsored by Corporate Facilities Group Incorporated, the leader in technical consulting, facilities maintenance, facilities management, and operations, as well as property maintenance and management services throughout America. And now, CFG Incorporated is proud to announce a new department, a new initiative, headed up by the amazing Mr. Steve McMillan. Steve brings as many years of experience as he manages pre-construction services and estimating for residential development, residential renovations, and light commercial projects for CFG Incorporated. So, before you spend big bucks on a project and get schnookered, don't get schnookered. Let old Steve Aruski check out the contractor's scope and price to make sure your hard-earned money is going in exactly the right place. Check them out on the web at www.corporatefacilitiesgroup1.com. That's www.corporatefacilitiesgroup1.com. You can also click on the little link hoozy in the podcast episode website and let the magic of the internet take you to CFG's website. So, many thanks to Lydia, Steve, and Liliana, Summer the Doggy, and Smokey the Kitty Cat at CFG Incorporated. A Happy New Year to everybody at CFG Incorporated, and we really thank you for sponsoring the podcast. It's just amazing, and thank you so much. Yes, everybody, thank you. It's fantastic, and Happy New Year, like I said, and here we go. And I didn't get to everything I wanted to get to. I have to admit that time kind of ran over me. I was dancing around the Christmas tree, having a few pints and a few Irish and scotches. Santa Claus brought this technology in, and I'm not anti-technology. And today's podcast is nostalgia. And we're going to go back into Paulie's memory, and I get accused of living in the past, Jethro Tull, right? I'm not. I embrace technology. I enjoy using it. This new interface has a lot of features, and it's got a learning curve, and I practiced and learned, and I'm very good at it. I'm not a Luddite by any means. I use new technology and software and communications programs with my amateur radio hobby. And at work, if people introduce new technology, I'm embracing it. I use it. It's just that I keep it under wraps, and I'm cautious with it. Just like my dear mom says, I've always been too logical, and you examine stuff. And I don't allow it to envelop my life and take me over and be the stop-all, end-all for everything in the world. And I think that's the key to technology. This AI stuff scares me. I did a podcast on that. And I think while it can be a wonderful tool, it's also a very frightening tool. And I don't not use new technology. I'm just cautious of it. If I didn't need a cell phone for work and a smartphone and all that, I'd just have a regular flip phone. I'd be perfectly happy with that. I don't need to text. I don't need to know things that are going on 24/7 with people's lives. The social media can be a great thing. It can also be a dangerous thing. I'm a radio guy. I was a military radio guy and a ham radio guy still. I sent enough messages to last me a lifetime. I don't need to communicate 24/7, but at any rate, so we're going to talk about nostalgia, and I didn't get to a number of the podcasts I want to do over Christmas. I want to do a deep dive in a literary study on A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens and break that down, and that would have been, I did some practice podcasts as I was testing out the technology, and that would have been a two-part, maybe even possibly three parts, to do it properly and examine A Christmas Carol and all the complexities to it. So I didn't have the time for that, and I didn't get to that, and I apologize. It's just I ran out of holiday time. So, and then, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody sending you warm wishes for the season, and one of my buddies sent me a Merry Christmas from the old neighborhood in Haldenboro, New Jersey, and he said, hey, Paulie, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, yakety smackety. Are you ever going to get to that podcast you promised us of rewinding memories of Halden and Paterson, New Jersey? And I always end the podcast saying, hey, I'm just a guy from Paterson, New Jersey. I was born in St. Joseph's Hospital on Main Street, Paterson, and very proud of my Paterson, New Jersey roots, as I'm proud of moving to the borough of Halden, too. It was a wonderful place to grow up. And so, yeah, I'm going to rewind. We're going to do some nostalgia. My buddy was right. I did promise to do that, and I never got to it. So, hey, we'll start the new year off with that. And I apologize to all the folks that might be tuning in here and not really know anything about what I'm talking about. But I guess that's part of learning new things and such. And I really, really am amazed and thankful. And I'm so blessed. I did a little location scan census on some of the emails and folks that are listening to the podcast. And I'm amazed. And being a ham radio operator, I've worked about 300 different countries throughout the world on my radio and all the 50 states and all the places that my Morse code signal and in some cases my digital signal or my voice, my actual horrible New Jersey accent, has echoed around the world, both on the ham radio frequencies and on the military frequencies. And it's just amazing. And there's a case where Paulie loves technology, right? Morse code, the original digital transmissions. But I did a census. So we've got listeners in Finland, Germany, Lithuania, England, Japan, Singapore in Asia. So a shout out to the listener or listeners in Singapore. Thank you so much for tuning in to this crazy guy from New Jersey. It's fantastic. And Tennessee and the states and Iowa and California and Florida, of course, New Jersey, Vermont, New York, all over the state of Virginia, Maryland, Delaware. It goes on and on. Florida, a lot of my buds all retired down here in Florida. And we thank everybody for tuning in. So this podcast is going to be about where Paulie and Harry and Jeffrey and all my buds and my friends and my family grew up in the great city of Paterson, New Jersey. And on the heels of the Christmas season, I think my memories of Paterson and Haledon are most vivid during the winter, especially during the Christmas season, because I can't emphasize how wonderful the city of Paterson was back in the the day of Christmas time in Paterson, downtown Paterson. And this was before they had the malls, you know, the super malls. And of course, it's before the internet shopping. So downtown Paterson, New Jersey, as was Newark and Pompton Lakes. Pompton Lakes had a really cool downtown area, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. But this is Paterson for me was the hub. And I grew up on Wayne Avenue in Paterson, New Jersey. And those that can go to the web browser or can see my podcast website, you'll see there's a photograph of the Great Falls of Paterson, New Jersey, as my banner photograph for the website. And my earliest memories as a child was growing up there on Wayne Avenue. And I want to say it's 52 Wayne Avenue, a walk-up apartment, three stories, very close together houses. And I was right across the street from the firehouse, which was a thrill for a little boy. when the engines would charge out of the firehouse, I'd run to the front window and check that out. And the Great Falls of Paterson was literally a half a block away, and it was, walking distance, obviously, and hearing distance and smelling distance, because when heavy rains would come or the snow would melt in the spring, back then we got a lot of snow, and you could smell the river, the Passaic River water in the air. And the falls were thunderous. You could hear the thunder of the water. And I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I believe it's the second highest falls on the east coast of the United States. Of course, we got Niagara. So, and now the Great Falls of Paterson, New Jersey is part of the National Park Service, which just floors me. It's got park rangers, and they did a renovation, and there it is in this urban area, and it was right there. That's where I grew up. It was amazing. I mean, I'd go and watch the falls, and my parents would warn me, my sister older than me, so she'd usually take me, and Hinchcliffe Stadium, the famous Hinchcliffe Stadium, where they had football games, baseball games, and when I was a kid, they had midget car racing. The little miniature cars would go around a racetrack. I'd sneak up to the windows and look through the bars trying to look at the races going on. And the security guards would chase me away. And I'd run back to my house. And I have a great picture of my old man and I sitting on the porch at Wayne Avenue. It's one of my favorite pictures. And in the back of the picture is one of my greatest memories, a clothesline. Everybody had a clothesline in the city, right? We didn't have dryers. We had the clothesline, and it's this giant pole in the back corner of the backyard, and it had a rope going to each apartment's porch, and dear mom would, you know, do the laundry. We did have a washing machine, one of those ringer guys, and it would empty into the sink, and mom would then hopefully have good weather, and she'd hang everything on the clothesline. You'd push it out, and it had two pulleys, and it'd go out there, but my dad and I are sitting on that same porch, and you could see the clothesline in the background. And it's funny how something as simple as that sticks in your mind, right? And Hinchcliffe Stadium was just over the backyard. The 4th of July was fantastic because they shoot the fireworks off from the stadium. You could see the fireworks. And public school number 5 was next to the stadium, and that's where my sister and I first went to school. My sister was older than me, so she went through a couple grades. And I want to say my cousin David probably went to PS5 too. I loved kindergarten there because Miss Windraft was my kindergarten teacher, and she had a sliding pond. She had a sliding, we call it a sliding pond. I don't know why. She had a slide, a playground slide inside the classroom. So we always won. You know, the other kindergarten teacher didn't have it, and we did. That's a vivid memory for me. Vivid, vivid memory. And so the Great Falls were right there. You had the famous Libby's Lunch, which my old man loved to go to Libby's for a hot dog all the way, a New Jersey tradition, onions, chili sauce, the special chili sauce, and mustard. That's all the way. And you got to know the lingo. You got to know the New Jersey, the Paterson, New Jersey. Clifton had the hot grill. Hawthorne had the Hawthorne Grill, and Johnny and Hangie's, I think, was in Paterson, but right on the Hawthorne border. And then right in that little circle there, Wayne Ave went across McBride Ave. So at the corner of McBride and Wayne Ave, you had Libby's Lunch. And my old man loved Libby's because they had beer. So he could get his hot dogs and his hamburgers, and he'd get a little glass of beer. Down the road towards the mill district, which of course is why the Great Falls had the mills and the factories and all the things that sprung up, the first industrial planned city in America, planned by Alexander Hamilton, with the raceways. They had water raceways. I remember watching the water go through the wooden raceways when I was a little boy, and it go into the factories and spin the wheels and provide hydroelectric power. But down the road was Falls View, which was another hot dog joint. And then down the road, just a hairpin on McBride Ave, was Olympic. It was owned by these Greek guys, and they were kind of sort of all in competition with the famous New Jersey Texas Wieners. But you got to know the lingo. You can't go to Jersey in this time and go up there and say, oh, give me a hot dog all the way, but hold the mustard. That's not a hot dog all the way. And the countermen look at you and he say, that's not all the way. That's a sauce or just sauce, no onion, hold the must. You got to know the lingo. So if you want it all the way, you got to get the onion, you got to get the sauce, you got to get the mustard. And don't be a dreamer when you come up to the counter. Study the menu board, because there's like 50 guys who just got off shift from the factory and they want a hot dog and a beer. And you're a dopey kid and you're studying this thing. You know what it is. It's a hamburger. It's a hot dog. You got soda. You're a kid. You can't have a beer. You got beer. There's nothing else on the menu. So don't be a dreamer and get up to the counter and study the menu. Know what you want before you get up there. Or the guy behind the counter is going to stand aside. You're a dreamer. Let these guys order. You come back. So, you know, growing up there in that little corner of the world was fantastic. And we eventually saved some money. I remember that apartment so well. I had a heater, this strange gas-fired heater right in the middle of the living room. It was very cold. The windows were drafty. It was very old. Italian guy owned it on the first floor. And we eventually, and Dr. Cobell, I have to mention Dr. Cobell. He was on the corner. He was our dentist. Just up a little bit, a couple houses away from where we grew up. And going to Dr. Cobell, an ancient dentist, was one of the most frightening memories of my childhood. He was the nicest guy in the world, but he had one of those old pulley type drill things with the leather cords that would go around. And he didn't use anesthesia when you had to get a filling. He'd drill your choppers. And he'd hit one of those roots and you'd go to the moon. And then, you know, he'd give you this pencil after you got done with all this pain. He'd give you this pencil and say, thank you for being a good patient. I doubt I was a good patient. I was screaming bloody murder. And Dr. Cobell was right up the street. Our dentist was right next door to our house. I swear I could hear the people screaming in the dental chair from where we lived. But eventually we saved up enough dough and we moved out of the city of Paterson and moved over to the borough of Hailden. And we lived in a most unique place on Belmont Avenue, 182 Belmont Ave, Hailden, New Jersey, 07508. And it was unique in the fact that border for the city of Paterson was literally maybe 60 feet, maybe 75, No, more than that. I guess 75 yards, I'll say, from our front door. Burhan's Avenue in Belmont. One side of Burhan's was the borough of Haledon, and the other side was the city of Paterson. So we were literally on the city border. In fact, I never took a bus to school. I always had a walk. And I was the farthest house from any school in the borough of Haledon. It was right there on the city border. So that's where my memories are most vivid, growing up in the great borough of Haledon. And I mentioned the Christmas time, and I want to get back to that. I might have to divide this into part one and part two, because the memories are just flooding in now, just flooding in. And what a glorious place Haledon Borough was at that time. And my best buddies, what became, you know, my best friends as we grew up, Jeffrey and Harry, were over on John Street, just a couple city blocks away. And there on Belmont Avenue is the main drag all the way from downtown Paterson. Well, actually from West Broadway all the way up into North Haledon, another borough. So you got the borough of Hawthorne, you have the borough of Haledon, borough of Prospect Park, borough of Hawthorne, borough of North Haledon, all boroughs around the city of Paterson on that side. And yet West Paterson, East Paterson became Elmwood Park, Clifton and the city of Passaic bordering the other side, Little Falls, Totowa Borough. Totowa Borough is another borough. So all these enclaves, but the city Paterson, the public service ran the buses at the time. It was actually part of public service, New Jersey Public Service. And the number 14 bus went up and down Belmont Avenue, right in front of our house. I could literally walk out the front of my house, and as an older guy, when I became a teenager, I could jump on the 14 and get to City Hall in Paterson, then take a bus out to, I think it was to Totowa, and then I'd connect to Newark, get on New Jersey Transit, and I could watch the Rangers hockey game and come up right across the street from 8th Ave at Madison Square Garden. So, you know, the mass transit was fabulous. And Mom never drove, but she was able to walk to everything. Everything was right there for us. And you could get on the 14 and take number 14 downtown Paterson. And at Christmas time, it was the most magical place. I can remember as a little boy, they had the Santa Claus Parade, which was downtown on Main Street and by City Hall, and they'd have the city be decorated in these old-fashioned, fantastic decorations. And the stores downtown, we'd always see Santa Claus at the Quackenbush Department Store. And you had Quackenbush, you had Stern Brothers, you had Meyer Brothers, you had Jacobs 29. My old man loved the Army-Navy store, Paterson Army-Navy. Then it was Cheap John's. It was a That's the name of the store. I'm not kidding you. Cheap John's. And he'd put all his cheap goods out. It wasn't fancy, and it always smelled like old clothing or mothballs or something. And you walk in Cheap John's, and he had these big tables, these big wooden bins, and stuff would be just literally thrown in there. Sneakers, hats, coats, toys, boots, scarves, gloves, whatever. It was all thrown in big piles in Cheap John's, and everything was, well, for lack of a better word, cheap. And we'd go down on Christmas time, right before Christmas, and see the Santa Claus parade, and then you had the Mr. Peanut. You had the Planters Peanut store out there with these fantastic smells of these roasted peanuts coming out. And everybody be walking and shopping, and my Aunt Ada, she worked downtown there for years and years and years, and she worked at Woolworths, and there was we'd stop and see Aunt Ada and have a meal, a sandwich or a soda or an ice cream at the famous Woolworths counter, the food counter. You had W.T. Grant was down there, too. I saw this bicycle I fell in love with for Christmas, and Santa Claus actually brought me that bicycle one year. I saw it in W.T. Grant. And they had wooden stairs, and they had levels to all these stairs, all these stores. The Meyer Brothers actually had a doorman. The doorman guy would work the revolving door so people didn't get stuck in it. And an elevator guy, the elevator guys and gals would push the buttons and bring you up and down to the different floors. You know, you get in there and your mother would say, boys' clothing. He'd say, fourth floor, and he'd push the button. These are fantastic memories of when Christmas was Christmas. It was an adventure going downtown Patterson. Then you jump back on the 14 with all your bags and boxes and all your stuff, and you'd ride back to Haledon. And there in Haledon, right up the street, on the corner, first we had the famous Gulf Station owned by Vince Barone. I mentioned him quite often in the books. And they had Harold Haycook's Moving and Storage and Trio's Liquors beyond the corner there, the liquor store. And up the street was the Food Town. And then as you went up Belmont Ave, there'd be other stores. The bank, my mother always go to the bank. She was able to walk to the bank. My old man and I were always fixing stuff in our old house. So you had Moslin's Hardware right by Molly Ann's Brook. And you had the Golden Pharmacy, the Haledon Pub, and a bunch of bars and grills. I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true, that only Garfield, New Jersey had more bars and grills per square mile than Haledon Borough, New Jersey. So I'm interested to see if that's true or not. And I'll go back to Gabby's Cabin, too. But as you work up your way up the Belmont Ave, you had the J&E Bar and Grill, the Cardinal Frame Shop, a bunch of what my old man would call paper stores, but we tended to call them candy stores. And there was the Campus Sweet Shop, candy store, the Campus. It was next to the Haledon Pork Store. And you went up and you had Chris's Big and Little Store. You held the Haledon gift box, and my sister and I would go in there and buy our parents these Christmas gifts. You know, we only had $5. And we'd buy them these little trinkets and these little stuff, and we'd shop in these little quaint stores. The shoe store was there, and then you traveled up, and Tannis Hardware, and on Church Street, the corner of Church Street and Haledon Ave was Margie's, another candy store. And one of my most vivid memories of these little sweet shops, we'd buy baseball cards there and wiffle balls, and we'd go in there and buy bubble gum and candy on our way to school or something like that. But they had the Country Club ice cream. All of them had Country Club ice cream. And all of them had a sign out hanging that was obviously sponsored, and it was like a red-green logo on a white background, the Country Club ice cream. Vivid memories. And it was just a wonderful place, a place that, especially at Christmas time, and now that Christmas is past, I'm thinking of all different memories and all different aspects of how wonderful Christmas was back then, how it was so simple. And I'm using new technology here, and we're doing all these fantastic things, and I have nothing against that, but my goodness, life was so simple and so fantastic back then. And the first stake in the heart of the downtown shopping, I think, was, at least for Patterson, was the Willowbrook Mall. They built the famous mall out in Wayne, and the bus lines would take you out close to it. And that was way before internet and everything. But that started to draw a lot of shoppers away from the downtown areas. And then Meyer Brothers, actually, they had a terrible fire, but they moved out to another mall out in Wayne, New Jersey, the Wayne Hills Mall. So the mall started to pull people away from the downtown areas. And now it's interesting because I've seen the whole cycle complete. And now, you know, the malls are fading, and the internet shopping has taken over the malls, and they're becoming a lot of what they call ghost malls around America. But my memories back downtown Patterson, I want to mention the Port Arthur restaurant. It was like on the corner of, I guess that would be West Broadway. And it was the most unique restaurant because it was skinny, and it had the dining up above, and it seemed fancy, but it wasn't super fancy. And up the street from that, it was the original location of Patterson Tech, where my old man went. And famous downtown area, the location of the original WPAT radio station offices. And you had the Patterson Evening News down there. I delivered the newspaper. And you had the famous Hamilton Club, a unique landmark. And I delivered they actually had the morning news, the Patterson Morning News and the Patterson Evening News. And I can remember seeing the full-page ads for all the stores downtown, taking up the newspaper at Christmas time. And you wrote a letter to Santa Claus, and you would get your newspaper, and you'd look and look and look and look, and sure enough, you'd find your letter published. You'd write it to care of the Patterson Evening News, and they'd get it up to Santa Claus in the North Pole, and you'd study the paper, and you'd like, there's my letter. They publish it. You're world famous. I guess that's my first published piece. But to get back where we lived, when we originally lived at Belmont Avenue, it was a doctor's office. There was a doctor who lived there. He lived upstairs, and his offices were in the floor where we lived. And my grandmother and grandfather, my English grandmother and grandfather, lived above in the apartment. And people would still come to the door years later asking if the doctor was in. And my old man say, well, I'm not a doctor, but maybe I can help you. And we renovated the house, very old. It was built in 1905. And the plumbing issues, let me tell you something. We were always hiking up to Boslin's Hardware for plumbing parts. But next to us was originally a tailor shop. And the tailor passed away, and then there was the famous Gabby's Cabin. And so many people have written me and asked me about Gabby's Cabin, Gabby's restaurant. It was originally Gabby's Cabin, and it would look like a log cabin on the outside. And they had a famous cocktail lounge, the bar. And these were the kind of bars you could walk in off the street. And they had the canopy coming over the door, and you'd walk into the doors. A lot of bars and grills in Patterson and North Jersey in that day and age, and throughout all New Jersey, had corner entrances. On the street corner, they'd be on an intersection. It'd be a couple of little steps, and you walk in the bar. Gabby's didn't have that. They had a side entrance, but the main bar and grill was right off Belmont Ave, and it had a leather canopy, a cloth canopy that came out, and you went in there, and it said Cocktail Lounge. And I can remember going there. I was only a little squirt. Shine shoes, and they had a sailfish behind the bar. It was unique. And my old man have a beer there, and I'd make a couple coins shining shoes. And people always ask me, they think that Gabby's Cabinet later on became Gabby's Restaurant, and they expanded it and tried to have wedding banquets. But the neighborhood got rough and a lot of crime. And the parking was limited as it is in a city type thing. And the owner of Gabby's, this guy Clem, he would always, and then he sold it to his brother-in-law. He'd always try to convince my old man to sell the house so he could knock our house down and have extra parking. But people think Gabby's was in a different location. Now, Gabby's Cabin was right there on the corner of Burhan's and Belmont Avenue. It's still there. Well, it's not there. It's a Burger King now. It's actually a Burger King restaurant. But here's a great piece of trivia. If you go on the Google and you look at the street scenes, you will see a yellow pole right on the corner of Burhan's and Belmont Avenue. That yellow pole was part of the original electric trolley line that went up Belmont Avenue. And I can remember as a little boy, they resurfaced. There was a pipe that broke, big sewer pipe, water pipe on Belmont Avenue. They dug a hole down to Australia. These old pipes in these old cities. And I remember vividly they had to cut through the trolley tracks that were still underneath Belmont Avenue asphalt. And right there in front on the corner of Burhan's and Belmont, and I just looked the other day. I haven't been back to the old neighborhood for about a year. But the last time I was there, I was still there, is the trolley support pole for the electric wires for the trolley. And in studying this, it's one of only two original trolley poles that are still standing in North Jersey. And one of them is right there. But I rode my bike up and down. I played in that neighborhood, and it's right there on the corner of Burhan's and Belmont Avenue. And I think it's still there. So a shout out to everybody in the old neighborhood. I've been rambling and just spewing these memories, and I can't tell you how much has come back to me over this Christmas season. And many thanks to Harry and Cousin David and Jeffrey. Cousin David just sent me a piece of information that the old A&P food store where he started working in the supermarket business, it became a funeral home and now is a tobacco and vape and legal marijuana distribution store. How things have changed. And if you go uphill, my first date, I went to Kasu Street School on Sioux Street. It was built in 1897. And my first date with a gal, and I can't even remember her name, was at Gino's Hamburgers right across from Sioux Street. I think I was in seventh or eighth grade. And I took her over to Gino's to have a hamburger on Hayden Avenue. And all that's changed now. And you go up the road, Big Jim's Pizza's gone. The Hayden Diner, of course, was a legendary place. You go up Pompton Road over into the borough of Wayne, into Wayne Township, correction, past William Patterson University. Used to be a famous pizza joint we used to go to, Brother Bruno's. That's now a Taco Bell. So much has changed. St. Mary's Episcopal is gone. It's I believe a Walgreens pharmacy or a CVS. But the memories remain. You have the Tilt Street, right? Tilt Street is like this incredible hill. And they had the spring up there, the Hayden spring water. So many memories, so many wonderful times of a simple time. A glorious time. And at Christmas time, it was only compounded. I wrote about a lot of this in the books, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails and a lot of messages from folks in the old neighborhood that things I forgot and things I didn't mention. But what a wonderful place to grow up. City of Patterson is just a remarkable place. And somebody said to me the other day, you know, Paulie, you're going to be like one of the famous people that were born in the city of Patterson. Don't think so. But I am proud of my New Jersey roots and my Patterson roots. And maybe we'll get into the other things, the Rose Street Field, the Police Athletic League, and our adventures on ball fields and playing street hockey and all the things we did. And I often correspond with my buddy Jeff and the great Harry. I think Jeffrey summed it up the best. He said, you know, we didn't have much, but when you look back, we had everything, and that's very true. And I hope that wherever you grew up has the same kind of impact in your life and in your memories, and that's something that you could look back on fondly. And life's so different now, new technology. I'm using fancy equipment and all these things as I've grown old. But yet, as much as I enjoy using it, I still cherish all those fantastic memories and all those wonderful people we had, all these guys and gals. Wonderful people, and I wish them nothing but blessings and a happy new year. So, hey, I got to wrap this up, and I know people are going to flood me with emails and say, Paulie, you forgot to say this, and you forgot to mention that, and you forgot to say this. I guess it's going to be a part two or part three or whatever, but for those that didn't grow up in Hayden and Patterson, New Jersey, if you stuck with me this long, thank you very much, and I appreciate you allowing me to share some of these wonderful memories of a simple time. So, at any rate, hey, what do I know? I certainly am just a guy from Patterson, New Jersey. But hey, please be kind, be gentle, be very tolerant. Remember, kindness is for free. Spread it around as much as you can. It can only make this world a better place. And we're going to be back with some rated series. We got some other things on the docket. I'm going to try to get some guests on here. I do my best to have some debates and some fun with music and some of the other things. I've got a whole list of things I never got to. But first, I'm warning you, I feel a sports rant about the New York Jets coming up. But I got to wait till tomorrow for them to lose one more game. Hey, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in.